Welcome to Women Got Game, where we uncover untold stories of extraordinary women in sports across Northwest Ohio and beyond. I'm Sophia Fisher, and we're going to celebrate the evolution of female athletes, coaches, and sports enthusiasts. Let's dive into a world often overlooked in the broader sports narrative. Ready to explore? Let's play. Today, we're featuring the Sylvania Southview Cougars girls lacrosse team, a squad known for their grit, determination, and strong team spirit. We'll hear from the players and coaches about their journey and what drives them to succeed on and off the field. I'd like to introduce some awesome lacrosse players. Today, we have with us Abby Lowe, Joan Lewis, and coaches Will and Jordan Roski. Welcome, Cougars.
Hello.
Hello.
Great to have you today, and let's just start off with some lacrosse 101. All right, coaches, why don't you give us an overview for our audience that really maybe doesn't know a lot about lacrosse? Can you tell us about women's high school lacrosse, how it's played, the basic rules, number of players? You get the idea.
Totally. First of all, thanks. This is Coach Roski for Southview Lacrosse. Pretty much the game goes as there's 12, and then you have really one goalie, so you subtract, so it's like a 7-on-7 on offense and defense. And around Toledo, it's really kind of still low-key, but we're trying to pick it up. Like, I'm trying to build it up and try to just get locally more girls interested in just even just physically seeing it. And I feel like once you see it and you realize, like, oh, we can do running, catching, passing, it still has that physical activity. You can still be aggressive but not really hurt somebody. And it's just nonstop action opposed to other sports where you might have a lull. Literally, there's no lull in lacrosse. It's nonstop action, turn and burn, if that's how you choose to play.
So you have a mallet, ball, tell me about
that. We have different types of sticks. You have like defender sticks where the heads are a little wider depending on it makes it easier to catch and stop on defense. Then you have like attacker sticks where the pocket's a little more tight to where you can really whip the ball and score. So there's different sticks, minus the goalie stick. That's just that huge-looking mallet thing that you see. But just a few basic sticks, and it really depends on the level of player as to how much you want to spend on a stick. Like, if you're just starting off and you want to pick up, you can spend as low as $30 on a stick, and you can get as good as you want to get with you and a friend or you and a wall.
Awesome. Tell us about the ball. I mean, it looks like it's hard, and if you get hit with it, I'm Sandy. I don't think it's going to feel very good, but tell me about that.
Well, many times I've been actually hit with the ball in practice, and I don't wear pads, just stand there, and sometimes the rogue agent comes along, and you just get whacked. It's almost like if you've ever touched a hockey puck, if you think of a hockey puck, but it's just circled like a baseball, but it's way heavier, and it hurts. So, like, mad props to every single goalie out there to sit there and take those shots. It's super impressive, and the will just to stand there and take it, even if you don't want to, it's amazing. And you can gear up. So, like, and girls lacrosse and boys lacrosse are a little different. Like, the guys are crazy, and they don't even wear pads or shins. Or it's just they're just there and them and their stick, where at least in girls, you wear their chest pads, obviously. But you can wear knee pads, shoulder, leg thigh pads, and stuff like that. And there's usually just – I'm like, tell my girls, I don't care what you do. Throw some sweats on. Hey, look good, feel good, play good. Block all the balls, you know, but mad props to the goalies, and that ball really does hurt.
You read my mind, though. I was going to ask you how it differed from men's lacrosse. Jordan, can you answer that?
I would say another difference is back to, like, the gear we wear. Like, people in the midfield usually wear goggles, and you have to wear a mouth guard. And then also to add to that, comparing it to boys lacrosse, they have a lot more pads. It's a lot more physical. Well, girls is not as physical. You could get away with a little pushing, but not much.
Is there need for speed?
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be.
The way I like to look at it is closed mouths don't get fed. So the most hungriest girl on that field is going to get that ball no matter what. And usually you kind of put that person, because there's different positions, as Jordan was saying, she's talking about the midfield. So if you think of midfield, or as we like to say, middies, they're the three girls that start in the center around the circle off the draw, and then they get to run the whole field. So you think of them as, like, they can do it all. Usually your mids are pretty much top players that can do offense and defense, because that's what you need. Because at any point in time, you could get a turnover and then immediately go, and you know that person is capable of running the whole field, and then best visual to see the whole field to pass. So me personally, I look at my mids as the transitions. Like, they need to get the ball. And my philosophy is, within three passes, we should be looking to score.
You're moving up the field.
I'm not looking. And like in the beginning, and you talk to parents, and we do parent meetings because it is high school. It's not like it's college. So for me personally, it's a matter of, first, I just want every single girl to have fun. That's got to be top priority, because I remember back when I was in high school and I had coaches, I'm like, you find the coach that you sometimes you like, but then that also you find the coach, you just don't realize it, of what you don't like and what you don't want to be like. So for me, I'm just a super amped up positive type of person. So it's all positive, all fun. And I will literally coach you to the level of that you're actually capable of. It's not like I'm asking my best player, my worst player to do the same functions. It's not fair to somebody else, and that's the hardest thing. But as a team, and I think what we've built here is knowing that everybody's different and everybody has their role to play. You might not be the scorer, but you might be the defender that locks it down to pass. Everybody has a role, and it's just a matter of, and as a coach, it's my job to find the role. And the hardest thing I find myself is sometimes parents proceed to think, like, just as myself, I have four kids, three girls and a boy. Two of them played in college, Jordan, that's sitting next to me, and then her younger sister, and then my little one. But they all play. And for me, I wanted, as a parent, when I just first got into the game, it was a matter of, well, that person in the middle does everything. So they're always involved. So for me, I taught all the girls and the boy, hey, we're all middies, because I want to see action as a dad before I even started coaching. That was like, I want to see, how do you get to play and how can you play the best? And that was the position. So for me, I've trained and taught my kids, like, hey, middie is where we want to be. We can do everything, and you're always involved, and you never get to come out, and there's no law. So, but for me, and I know this is the hardest thing about parents, is everybody just wants to isolate. Like, you're a righty, then just do everything righty, and we're going to figure it out. Opposed to, it's so easy to coach against a player that can only go one way. At least I feel, especially in high school level. But all my kids and my girls that I train, and we've always done it, it's like, I do not care what it looks like. If you're a righty, we're going to do the same amount with the left hand. And either you're going to like it or you're not. But no matter what, by the end of this season or year or career, you're going to realize you can go right-handed and left-handed if you just put the work in.
A little ambidextrous.
Yes, anybody can do it.
So tell me about, what is it? Are they periods? Are they halves? What do you guys play? What is the time frame of this match?
Back in the day, it was, well, just last year, I should say, back in the day. But, you know, anyway.
That's an old school term, Dad. Come on, coach.
I know. So it was just two halves of like 25 minutes, but now we've knocked it down. So we have four periods, and it's 12 minutes, and it's just nonstop. So it's a matter of, like, the way I look at it is, like, the middies are always on the field, and then it's a matter of subbing out, and I just look at it as like 3 minutes. Or, like, as a coach, how I look, I'm looking for the players that aren't really going. Just because you're back on defense and on the, let's say, if you're thinking of a football field, you're on the, you know, the far end of the goal, and the play's going to the other side of the touchdown zone, hey, you better run diagonal all the way across. Just because the play's not by you doesn't mean you're actually out. So for me, it's, I'm watching, I'm coaching, and then I'm looking to see who's not running. And it's obvious. Sure. You know, players might not realize that. Sure. But if you were honest with yourself and you're watching, you're like, oh, okay, you're dogging it. Well, these other, you know, 9 to 11, you know, 10 girls or whatnot, they're all going. But if one person's not, it's so blatantly obvious to yourself that you're like, well, you're just hurting yourself and you're shortchanging yourself because you think, oh, I can't do it, not realizing. Even if you get up there, you might not make it there now, but another girl might make a turnover to where now you are in position. But if you're not willing to put that effort out, then you just kind of take yourself out of the play. So I look at it as, well, if you're taking yourself out, then I don't feel bad when I take you out. Because I feel
absolutely
like you're actually already done it on the field.
Yeah,
and I'm just making it obvious now.
You need the hustle. So
yes.
So coming to that, because you're starting to get into my next question, my next area of coaches, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a little bit of rapid fire.
Cool.
Okay? So I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and, you know, Jordan, pipe in. You just kind of share the questions back and forth, or the answers, rather. So number one here, can you share your coaching philosophy and how it shapes the way you guide your team?
I would like to start by saying that it's important to identify what each girl is capable of doing. So that may take the first like 2 to 3 weeks, like during practice. But once you find like their talent, you can then isolate them and help them grow and work with their teammates.
Awesome. Next question here. How do you balance teaching fundamental lacrosse skills, right? Developing the skills. But then also, if you have a hotshot player, how do you find time to really hone in on their skill set?
Like we say, like the difference in players. So if I have the hotshot player, usually I like to get there about if practice, say, starts at 4:30, I would like to be there at 4. So I'm always there, so that way I'm never playing favorites, and it's literally what you do determines what I do. So if you come early and you say, hey, coach, you know what, I'm really looking to, like, roll the crease. So there's, like, a circle around the cage, and then you just kind of roll that, and you're working for that. Then if there's only one girl that wants to do that, then I'll sit there, and for 20 minutes, literally I would just work with her on this one skill. If there's another girl that wants to do something, then I'll work with her. And it's all depends on, no matter how much a coach wants it, it means nothing if a player doesn't want it.
Let's talk about team development. So how do you build team chemistry, especially in a sport like lacrosse? Because communication has to be there. Teamwork is key, obviously, when you're trying to move the ball up the field. Let's talk about that.
Building chemistry all starts in the off season, and it really starts, like, before I took over the program. It was like when you pick captains, I always noticed captains always seem to be a popularity contest. So whoever's most popular is always seems to be, oh, you're the captain. In my mind, it doesn't work like that. To me, it's who's the girl that's actually here working. You might not be the best. It doesn't matter. But do you have the drive and the will? And then even being willing to make mistakes. It's about learning and taking chances. You have to take chances to get better. If you're not willing to make mistakes, that means you're not willing to get better, which means you're just going to stay where you're at. If you're happy with that, that's cool. But it just depends on what position you play and how much do you really want to get involved in the game. You know, there's some girls that are, hey, I don't want to get anybody scoring me. Like, I want to defend, like, the best player, and they lock her down. And that's their goal, is not to let this girl get a shot off. For a defender, that's awesome. It might not be, you know, everybody thinks they're the scorer. And then you actually start to play and you realize, you know what, scoring hurts sometimes, because these girls, they come in and they do kind of shove a little bit. And it's different than high school and college. But it's all about the drive and the will. And you have to want it. And then whoever wants it, we're willing to help. But one thing I can't have is negativity, because negativity breeds negativity. So every year, I'm always listening. And girls always think, coach is way over there, he can't hear you. I'm very selective, you know, like, you might not think, or I hear your comments, and I just, sometimes it's like, okay, just let them, you know, hey, kids are being kids, they're having fun, who cares, let's let them go, it's nothing, but I still hear it. I might not answer you or act like I didn't hear what you said, but if I do hear something, or you're belittling somebody, it's immediately going to be a problem, and then I'm more of the, oh, it happens now, everybody's going to witness it, and everybody's going to know it, so that way, no matter who you are, you know that is not tolerated, period. Because everybody's going to make mistakes, and at some point you are, you know? So
you're keeping it positive.
Yeah, it's always got to be positive. 100%. There's, I mean, otherwise it's just...
I would like to add to that. So part of that team chemistry is, like, us encouraging them, like, from the coaches. Because if the players see us encouraging the girls, then they want to, cheer them on as well. So then that just brings more chemistry, because they're like, oh, I can see that they can do it, so I'm going to try. So it just sort of... It feeds into one of another, you know what I mean?
Sure. It starts to have a life of its own. It kind of, people take that first step to be positive, and it's kind of contagious, if you will. So let's ask another question here. The growth of lacrosse across the country, not just in Northwest Ohio, but women's lacrosse is definitely growing in popularity. How exactly, actually, have you seen the sport evolve at the high school level?
From when Jordan first started, it was just club. They were a club when they first started, like, 7 years ago. So from that start, and she used to sidetrack. She ran track, and then she found it to be boring. And then she played basketball, but then you were the sixth man, and, hey, that's always boring. So we found lacrosse, and ironically, I found lacrosse by watching boys lacrosse. And I was like, Jordan, I think we got the sport that you're going to love. And then we got it, and I'm like, wait, this isn't at all what I thought it was going to be. But it actually turns out it's actually better. You know, it's not... I mean, the boys, yeah, they beat on each other. But skill-wise, and to do what you can with the girl stick opposed to a boy stick, because the pockets are different. So, like, a boy stick, it's really deep. And so the balls are in there. You really got to do work to try to knock that ball out of a boy stick. Where a girl's, it's not like that. It's more skill. It's talent. And it's, like, basically like a fundamental. It's just a fundamentals. You know, who's better at just this thing and continuing on this thing? That is, like, the biggest difference. I honestly think you could put a girl's versus a boy's, and the girls are going to win. Skill-wise with sticks, obviously, if the boys use theirs, but bring the boys and use our sticks, and it's going to be totally different. I know they say the same thing, but let's be real. You can't do this cradle crazy thing that they do, but I'm just...
So is the league grown across in Ohio anyway, specifically speaking, beyond?
It's getting there, but sadly, in ours, we're the NL, we don't have that many leagues. Like, for big schools that we have in this area, like, it's crazy to me that Whitmer, with all these, you know, that they have all those kids and they don't have anything. There's still nothing And you just need one involved parent to get in there and want to do something. To be like, hey, maybe if we start with a club and we'll see what kind of girls we have.
All right. We're going to hear from Abby and Joan. They're the athletes. They're the juice. They make it happen. And the first question for you ladies is, you know, tell us a little bit about your lacrosse origin story. How'd you fall in love with lacrosse?
So I have three younger brothers, and they all are really serious about soccer. And I did play soccer, too, growing up. So I went into high school freshman year thinking I was going to be a soccer player. And I did do that fall freshman year of soccer. And there were a couple girls on the team who were on the lacrosse team. And they loved lacrosse. They talked about how it was their favorite. They were so excited for the spring. And so I followed in their footsteps. I just tried lacrosse because there were those older girls on there that I adored. And I just fell in love with it. I was brand new freshman year, but it was the sport that, like my coach was talking about, it just fit for me and nothing else really stuck. And lacrosse was the only thing that I truly loved sport-wise. And so I just stuck with it.
What position do you play?
I'm a midfielder.
Okay, Joan's a midfielder. All right, Abby, what about you? Same question.
Well, I had neighbors down the street that have been playing lacrosse for a couple of years, and I remember it was a birthday party, and all the guys were in the back playing lacrosse, and I was like, that looks like fun. I want to play. So I went out there, and I had a fun time. So my mom found, like, a lacrosse program with Sylvania Rec, and then ever since then, I've just been playing.
In what position?
I play midi.
You're midi. All right. So next question here. So how do you and your teammates support each other through tough games or difficult times when you're training?
Like Coach was saying, it's all about positivity. So that's like the number one rule. It's all about having fun and being positive. So I think that really has had an impact on how, you know, the teammates treat each other. But, you know, it's hard to get frustrated at people because not everybody knows how to play. So it's just little things that you see here and there that, like, don't look like a big deal are easy to, like, celebrate over because, like, everybody's learning the sport.
Sure, so you're meeting people where they're at. It's not, you know, you can still grow in your skill set, mm-hmm. the fundamentals. All right. Actually, I'm going to throw you a different question, Joan. We're going to say, walk us through a typical day of, like, practice and what the week looks like for you and how you stay in shape physically and mentally.
During a typical week of lacrosse, we would have two or three games. And then those other days, we do have practice. Our practice was 2 hours long around. We'd start up by stretching all together as a team to make sure that, you know, we start with cohesiveness and we start as a family. And then we do a couple warm-up laps, and then we do some warm-up drills. And then by then, we'll separate into varsity and junior varsity, depending on our skill level. And then there, our coaches can hone in on what our team as a whole needs to focus on. And then from there, we're able to prepare for our games for the week.
So that really gives you your chemistry.
Right, for sure.
You're really setting it up there.
Spending all that time together definitely brings us close.
Is it mentally challenging sometimes?
Definitely. We have to push each other during the games, especially because, like Coach said, we do usually have double or half the number of girls as other schools. So we're pushing ourselves a lot harder because there's no one else to sub us in sometimes.
Sure.
But, yeah, so that's what we do.
You just got to be in shape. So here's a question for both Abby and Joan. So what's your go-to pregame ritual, routine? Are you guys superstitious? Do you, like, win a game or a match, rather, and then you don't wash your socks for the whole season? Is there anything like that going on?
Not really, for me at least. I like washing my socks. But for me, it's just, well, like, going to the JV games and, like, hyping everybody up and having a good time there and just having a lot of fun. That really, like, you know, psychs me up for my game and have a great time, too. So I just like watching them play and having so much fun. It's just getting me excited to play.
What about you, Joan?
Yeah, for me, honestly, we don't have a specific ritual, I would say. But, yeah, it is kind of a tradition. The varsity girls come and watch the JV game. We cheer them on. We make them feel so excited. And then they do the same for us. And I honestly, that's the biggest encouragement from our peers, our teammates. That encouragement really pushes us on the field.
So what has lacrosse given you off the field? What kind of life lessons have you learned by playing lacrosse?
I think through lacrosse, I gained a lot of leadership. I would say freshman year or when I joined lacrosse, I was more of a shy person, introverted. And through lacrosse and obviously through growing up, I feel like I was able to grow maturity-wise, leadership-wise, communication-wise. Yeah, all around.
Abby, what about you?
Yeah, just being, like, persistent, you know, like, with lacrosse, like, I just really want to get better. I really want to improve, and that has really, like, shown in like everyday life and like school, you know, really pushing myself to make sure I get good grades and everything, or really pushing to make sure I talk to some people at school. And, you know, leadership, you know, that has really played a role. I mean, you know, I've given, you know, being team captain and everything, I've learned a lot of how to deal with certain situations on the field and how to deal with drama between girls and how to work my way around, you know, kind of that stuff, and like make everybody like have a good time together, you know, work together.
That's great. So girls and drama, come on. No, really? I don't know. But no, let's talk about, what do you think really the difference is between boys lacrosse and girls lacrosse? Do you feel that, what would make girls lacrosse better? Is there anything that you would change about it that the boys have that you don't?
I wish that we were offered the same protection and gear-wise that the guys were. I would say that even though women's lacrosse is less physical than boys, there are definitely some physical people out there. We do get hurt, definitely. So I think just stepping up the safety of the players would be a good change.
Coach, go ahead. Coach Will.
I think on that note, when we're talking about like the differences of players and what can be done, like what she might be talking about is like some girls, you might go out there and you see some girls wearing helmets. So me personally, I understand why they wear helmets, because they may have gotten a concussion, so that's why. But as I coach and what I see from girls who actually do wear helmets, it's amazing the invincibility they get, because they know when somebody hacks back at them, they have that cone of protection around their head, to where, like right now, our program doesn't have that. But we also don't practice to go that hard and check as aggressive as some girls do. But I really think the bigger issue is for safety is the fact that right now, and from the past years, it's just hard to get quality referees, let alone referees. I mean, getting bodies is one thing, but actually getting people involved that actually know the sport. And it's different between if you just came from watching a boys' game, reffing that yesterday, to a girls' game, you're going to let them go a little harder than what they probably should. And in high school, that's the thing. We're not like in college where you can actually body up a girl and go. But some of these referees, when they've watched a men's game, and now you're watching a girl. You're like, we're two different games right now. Like, what you say in our winter meetings that we're not allowed to do, I'm watching it take place, and then I bring it to your attention. You're like, well, you're just gonna have to change that. If he's not calling it, then you just have to go to what ref is calling it. And I think the biggest thing is just finding more quality or college players that no longer play, or coaches like myself that step away and realize, you know what? What we really need is just quality refereeing. And that will keep everything in, because it takes, like for lacrosse, I know we didn't bring it up, but yellow cards. You know, one girl can hack you twice, and if you get two of these yellow cards, you're done for the game. And then if a team takes four, then we play down. So opposed to playing seven, now we're going to play six the whole game on whatever side the ball is. So, but that refereeing, I think, would definitely help, and it's just a matter of just getting people, and it doesn't help. I mean, I'm a coach, and I'm on the sidelines, and I hear what the parents are saying, not only to their own kids, and you're wondering, like, you wonder why she's stressed and she can't do anything, because you're asking her to do something that she can't do, and you just assume she can because I guess you just willed it to go, not realizing I'm on the sideline knowing what she can't do, and I'm coaching to where she can't do what you want her to do. And it's sometimes you feel sorry for the player, like they just can't do what you want them to do, and then you're just hearing it from the refs or the coaches and the other girls. It's just a frenzy of craziness. But really, I think the biggest thing is reffing, more experience, and just more of them. And then the one last thing, and I'll say real quick, shot clock. College has shot clock to where it's 80 seconds, 30 seconds, depending on however you get across the field and whatnot. But I really think lacrosse is great if you play it the way I love to play it, which is great because now we can run. But if you play a team that doesn't have that many girls and can't run, game gets boring really fast, because what you'll see is girls just stay on the four, like what we call four corners or basketball, where you just go to you kick it to outside of the key,
sure,
and you just keep passing it around. And it is the most boring sport you've ever seen. And at that point, I'm just going, losing my mind. Like, I'd rather go down in a blaze of glory than sitting here watching paint dry. So let's go, ladies. You know, but that's just about coaching. So.
Well, and obviously it's growing, and I think this segues into the next question for Joan and Abby. What do you think needs to be done to grow girls lacrosse, not just in our area, but in communities that maybe don't have it? What needs to happen? Is it more mentoring? Is it just getting girls to come to games, and it's eliminating that shy factor? What do you think it is?
just getting out to the community, you know, like Coach Will has been doing, like bringing it out to like the younger girls who don't really know what it is, and you know, getting them interested in it, but also like just like spreading it. You know, there's a lot of girls that like who are playing this year that haven't played my freshman year, and it's just like talking about it. And then, you know, like I have a coach like Coach Will really, really helps, because you know, he's not gonna punish you, or he's not gonna be mad at you for messing up. And I think that's like another thing that I used to get people to join, is like, he's not gonna be mad at you for anything that you do. He's just happy that you're gonna be there and have a good time. So you try your best, and you know, just come in with a good attitude and you're gonna be good. So I think just really push, like getting it out there in the community and telling people about it, and not, I don't know, I guess it seems like it's an aggressive sport, and it kind of is, but like, you know, just not making people like scared of it, you know.
Sure. What about you, Joan?
I would say, like Abby said, bringing lacrosse to younger girls. When I joined lacrosse, I didn't even know what it was. I bought a stick and I didn't know what to do with it. But I think bringing the actual sport and the knowledge about the sport to girls that are, what, just in third to through fifth grade. Because when I was that age, I didn't even know lacrosse was a sport or that it existed. And I think also just having people in the community that genuinely care about the sport, like my coach, and who care about the girls individually and their growth through the sport, but also mentally, maturity-wise, and everything like that.
Great. So I have a question. Is there a female athlete, not necessarily just lacrosse, it could be any other sport, that's inspired you? You know, who is it, and what have you learned from them?
I mean, I would say my one sport icon is Simone Biles. She is obviously the gymnastics Olympian. Through her, I was able to just see how much dedication and discipline is needed to be successful at something. I learned that also through the lacrosse program, that dedication and just doing reps, practicing, is the only way to improve. Yeah, that's a big lesson.
What about you, Abby?
Well, Caitlin Clark is a great example, because, you know, she's brought attention to women's sports just by, you know, playing her game, you know, and not really doing, you know, just playing basketball. So I think that's like really helped me, like, oh, I just need to go out there, I need to have a great time, I need to play my best game, and you know, other people will get attracted to it.
I like it. So what advice would you give to a young girl who's listening to this episode and is interested in picking up a lacrosse stick? What would you tell her if she's a little kind of shy, or she's thinking, I don't know about this? What would you tell her?
Well, I would say to not be scared. It's always going to be your first time at something when you're trying something new. But yeah, I would say just get in there, practice. I mean, even if there's not a physical coach that you have, there's videos online. Yeah, lacrosse, there's information about it online actually a lot if you look up. So yeah, I would just tell them to get involved as early as possible, because they're going to benefit from it no matter what.
What about you, Abby?
Just go for it, you know? Everything new is going to be scary, so just go in and have a good time. That's my main thing. Just have a good time. If you're having fun, if you feel good, you play good. So just go in, have fun, and, you know, everything new is going to be scary. So just push yourself out of your comfort zone, because you're going to be scared no matter what.
All right, so next question. This is for the coaches. So what do you think needs to happen to help lacrosse grow in our area? What are some of the challenges, or what are some of the suggestions, rather, that you'd make to help the sport grow?
I personally believe we need to get out there in the elementary schools, like with grants and funding, especially for female sports, and just even males, just to get them out earlier. It's everybody in Sylvania where we go is always soccer, but not realizing soccer and lacrosse are kind of the opposite seasons, so they kind of feed off each other. So I personally, we need to get out there and in the elementary schools and to those the PE teachers, and because even in Sylvania we have the equipment. The question is, can you find another adult at that school that's willing to put their neck out and say, hey, you know what, we're willing to try something? The question is for that person. I don't know. I'd be more than willing to come in and help. It's just a matter of getting out there, and you just need involved people who are willing to help and to strive for somebody else besides themselves.
Jordan?
So when I played at Lourdes University, we spent a day at Ottawa Hills, and we went to the gym classes, and we like brought equipment, and then we gave them the exposure and like taught them like quick basic lessons of lacrosse, which I think like that exposure alone, like getting it through the junior high, can then increase, like bring it to their siblings, tell the teachers, and it just keeps getting out there.
All right. Coaches, what's the most rewarding part of coaching high school girls lacrosse?
I think the biggest thing is, from a player's, but like when I would play, like achieving my goals was like the biggest thing. So coming from the coaching perspective, I think if I can see my girls achieving what they want to do, it's beyond rewarding. And then also like the relationship I'm building with them, it's just like rewarding that they can come and talk to me about like any issues or if they need help with anything. Like, I don't know, it's just so rewarding. I don't know.
Right. Coach Will.
For me, the biggest thing is realizing when a girl that has zero experience and that you worked with for the first year and she thought, this is never going to happen. But you tell her, just keep coming. I will get you to where you want to be. You just have to trust me, and it's a process. It's not going to be fast. It's not going to be easy. But if you stay the course and keep working, you will achieve your goals. And that is the best thing, is watching a girl who never thought she was going to get a goal out of nowhere get a goal. And everybody loses their mind, and there's no feeling on earth like that. It's like, for me, it's like watching my own kids score. And that's the joy of being the coach, is watching every girl and knowing that's, hey, we were part of that. And just the experience and the joy on these girls' faces when something happens that they weren't expecting is priceless.
All right, we're going to wrap this up now with Abby and Joan. And I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite thing about being part of the Cougars lacrosse team?
The environment is just so positive. It's so fun, and I look forward to every practice and every game that we have. Open gyms even, you know, rec games too. Like, I'm just so excited to be there because it's just such a positive, fun environment, and everybody's friends with each other.
Awesome.
Joan. Would say the best thing about lacrosse is the feeling when we work hard together as a team and are able to win a game that we weren't super sure that we were going to win, but that we worked hard enough and deserved to win.
Well, Cougars, it was great speaking with you all today and learning about high school women's lacrosse. Abby, Joan, Coach Will, and Coach Jordan, you got game. That's it for today. Huge thanks to the Sylvania Southview Cougar Girls lacrosse team and their coaches for sharing their journey. Don't forget to subscribe, share, or comment on what women's sports stories you'd like to hear about. And a special thanks to my executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer. I'm your host and producer, Sophia Fisher. Please visit us at wgte.org/womengotgame.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.